Hi, my name is Opie. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Geez, that sounds good. Yeah, I remember the last time when I went in a bar, you never said that. I walk in the bar, all I heard was, oh no, it's Opie again. Gee, I really get a kick out of this place. This is the first time I've ever been down to the U.S. of A. to speak. Yeah. I just found out, too, that there are a lot of other people other than myself that burned wagons down here. I'm not alone. Lots of friendly people here, I tell you. Whew. Nice room. I got this card to open a door. No key. I'll have to go home to the reservation and say, I opened the door with a card now. I mean, I still do. Oh, geez, now I know why you're laughing. Yeah, my full name is Philip Raymond Oppenheimer. I'm German Jew and Indian too. When I drank, the German in me was very dictative, and the Jew was cheap, and the Indian was a savage. And you know, up home, we used to burn wagons, not no more. We're high-tech Indians. We use dynamite now. I tell people we use that French dynamite, Le boom. I was in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous 11 years, in and out. And it never worked, because I didn't want it. I didn't want to sober up. I just didn't want the wife to leave anymore. Because that doesn't look too good for a warrior. I didn't want to lose my job. I wanted to impress my friends. But I didn't want to sober up. Nothing's worse than sitting in the back of a meeting and a whole hour listening to these people get up here and be happy and stuff like that. And sitting back there a whole hour and I want a boogie. I want to fight. I want to burn something. I want to beat the snot out of somebody. Or have me beat up. I don't care. As long as there is a beating going on. I had so much stuff going on in my life, I didn't care. A chaos was a way of life. And the more I guzzled, and the more I drank, and the quicker I passed out, I didn't have to live through the crap that was going in my head. The nightmares that were happening in my life. And it used to drive me crazy, you know, I hear people come up here, my name is so-and-so, and I'm a happy, grateful alcoholic. And in my mind, I'll be saying, up yours. How dare you be happy around me? Like, how could you be? Where's the fights and the women and the drugs and the never-ending party? You know? I wasn't ready. I just wasn't. I'd go to a meeting, no Indians at the meeting. Shitty meeting. I go to a meeting, I see a couple of Indians there. Good meeting. We can get together halftime and talk about our wagon burning experiences. I'd never worked for me because there was this Indian thing about me. And I remembered I went to meetings with Dan George, Chief Dan George, who acted in Little Big Man. I went to meetings with him. And my eyes were opened this one night when I heard him say this. My people, my friends, there are two things I think about and the two things I hang on to so dearly in my life. And in this order, one, I am a human being who needs help, who wants to help other human beings. Two, I am an Indian. And I'm proud of it. And it's only when you turn that around, you're in trouble. Give Dan George a good hand. I used to allow things to bother me when I went to meetings. I didn't want to sober up. I'd look around. I see some guy there with a leather jacket on, with studs on, long hair, tattoo across his arm, and I'm going, I bet you think you're tough. I should take you outside and lay the boots to you. I just didn't want to hear nothing up here. I see somebody with the hair parted right down the middle. Just don't know where to put your part. I'll see somebody with a suit on, and I'll go, so you think you're rich, eh? I'll wait for you outside and roll you. I was so busy looking out there, looking at stuff, inventory, looking at, because I didn't want to look at me. No way. It was easier to tear you apart than to look at myself. And I was so afraid of change, and I was so afraid to hear about change. I was so afraid, and I was so distrustful about people who said they were happy and grateful. Twenty-one years ago, I woke up in Vancouver, Skid Road, in an alleyway. And I had a bottle, a Pepsi bottle of shaving lotion. And I had my pockets full of celery and carrots from a garbage can. And I just finished calling out a cardboard box. I was okay. I was all right. A missionary friend of mine said, unless a man is truly dissatisfied with what he's got in life, he will not accept change. I got shaving lotion, man. I got celery and carrots. I just found out I was a vegetarian. And then one day I woke up in the alleyway, shaving lotion, carrots, and sleeping in the alleyway, watching the rats run around. That day I was truly dissatisfied with what I had in life. No more. I can't handle this. No more. After 7 attempts on my life, I just wanted to die. I always thought riding fast cars and jumping off cliffs in the water and everything, everybody thought I was one brave cookie. The bottom line was I had a suicide pact with myself. I wanted to die in these fast cars, and everybody thought I was brave. Let them think what they think. Maybe this one will roll. Maybe I'll go with it. And I went home. I walked from the skid roads to my home, and there was nobody there. They were gone. They left. The kids, the wife, the dog, they all left. It's the first time I ever felt that word to its fullest, alone. I know how those people felt, those two people that woke up in this movie and the whole atomic bomb thing, and there's nobody around. I know how that feels. My senses was just incredible. This cockroach was running across the floor. Doop, 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 doop. What a big cockroach. A little fly was flying around, and I thought it was an eagle going by. And there were kids playing outside, and the buses and the trains and boats and planes was happening, and I never heard a thing. July 10th, 1978, 4 days later, after going through a lot of DTs, I didn't want to tell anybody about my DTs before, and people talk about elephants and little green people and all that. I don't want to talk about my little green people. They're mine. Mine were about 2 feet high, and they had googly eyes. And now, after meeting some other ones here that had them, we kind of compare our green people. I never wanted to be honest. No. I tell people when I puke in a double wide stainless steel sink. Not in no toilet bowl like a lot of you. Stainless steel sink. I didn't even have one. I didn't want to tell people when I threw up, I was over the toilet bowl and I was holding my eyes like so they don't pop. I was afraid they were going to pop. And then when I started sweating and throwing up, I thought it was blood. I'm going, wow, no, that's not blood, but feels like it. And then I got down to my knees and put my temple against that cold toilet bowl. Oh, I'm too lazy to make ice. Man, this toilet bowl feels nice and cold. These white guys finally made something right. July the 10th, 1978, exactly 12:30, I remember to this day. Exactly 12:30, and I remember this is the prayer that I said, God, no more. I'll do whatever you want me to do. No more. I didn't have that prayer, get me out of this one. Hey, and I'll go to church, you know, I might even get a job. No, that might be asking for too much, you know. And something happened to me. From the waist up, I had a rush. See, I've done heroin and cocaine and fancy wines and shaving lotion. I've done it all. And whenever I thought I felt really good, it was nothing compared to what was happening to me. It was like hatred and bitterness and revenge shooting out of the tips of my fingers. It was as if a rope tied in a knot was being untied and it left me. Hatred left. And the desire to want to help another human being came inside me. I'm going, wow. And I remembered I walked into the washroom and I looked in the washroom mirror and oh, I saw that ugly looking Indian. What a scared. My hair was all over the place. I had sores in my face, my eyes were bloodshot, and my whiskers were sticking out like this. My whiskers don't lay down, they stick out. And this ugly looking Indian in the mirror was happy. What a happy looking ugly Indian. And because I watched a lot of holy shows like the Ten Commandments and all that stuff, I found myself in the living room saying, God, God, I'm yours. I phoned and phoned and phoned, and finally a minister answered 6 calls later. Oh, and this guy even sounded holy. He goes, hello. He is a holy man. I said this prayer and stuff left me, and I, this is feeling I have over me that I cannot explain. What's going on with me? Is it a miracle or something? And he says, Mr. Oppenheim, God has touched you in a special way. He's letting you know he's there. He always was there, and now it's your move. And I remember we had a hang-up phone, a wall phone, and I said, thank you. And after I hung that phone up, I knew at that very moment that was never drink again. In July the 10th, it'd be 22 years. I believe in prayer. I believe in angels. And angels wear suits. That's another story. I was 15 and a half going on 16, and I got into prison for manslaughter. 4 of us beat a man up and he died because he wouldn't lend us his car. I don't know what you do now when somebody don't lend you a car, but that's what we did. And I ended a long time in prison. And I spent most of my life hurt because a man lost his life. So when I got out of prison, I got involved with the gangs and the drug dealers and stuff like that, and played the role, and went down to Vancouver and almost died playing the role. I remember getting up early in the morning, crawling out of the bed, and what happened to this macho guy? I'm like, don't talk to me because I'll start trembling. You know, and the phone rings, I just covered up with a pillow. All the curtains had clothespins on, so they don't open. Yeah. One scared human being, ashamed of what I might have done. I don't know. And I go through 2 days of sickness. Then I go to town. One beer. I feel like a university professor. 2 beers. I'm talking like a lawyer now. 3 beers, if there's anything you want to know, hey? I'm here. I then get sick and wake up and I feel dumb. What'd you do last night? Huh? What used to bother me when I used to come to the meetings in and out 11 years, man, you know, they read the same thing. And they take turns so they can bug you. Somebody had come up here. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has sorely followed our path. Jeez, you think they're going to ever read something different? And I used to think, if you ever wanted to change the program, come to me. Alcoholics Anonymous is a simple program. But it's a simple program. All you have to do is change your whole life. One day at a time. Change your whole life. All your attitudes, they never worked anyway. Change. One day at a time. I can tell somebody today, me, by myself, I could eat a whole moose. One steak at a time. Some of us try to indulge. Start eating the whole moose, you'll get sick. There are people that come here and they know how to quote. Page 446, you know what I mean? And that page isn't at home. They're still kicking a dog in the head. And they're ignoring their kids. I always say, I got to beware of the quoters. All I want to be in this program is one page. And live it to the fullest. One page. I'm part of a big book. And the rest of the pages is right out here. So I did what my sponsor told me to do, ordered me to do. I went to meetings, I went to roundups, I went to step meetings, I went to the dances, and I went to the coffee after the meeting, and I went to more dances and more roundups, and I did the steps, and I went to some more meetings, I phoned my sponsor, and I kept on doing this, and you know what happened? I turned into a groovy guy. So if you want to go to one meeting a year, if you want to grow slow, go to one meeting a year. And believe me, it's going to look like you go to one meeting a year. I love smorgasbords. Lots of food. Big plate. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's like a directory. It's a smorgasbord. Go to a different meeting every night, phone a different person, reach out to somebody that may be new. I love the smorgasbord of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you. I was sober 3 months, 4 months, and my daughter, 5 years old. I was sitting in the armchair and my daughter come running up and she sat on my lap. I said, how's it going, babe? She says, fine, Dad. And she said, you know what, Dad? I goes, what, babe? She says, you know when you start going to those meetings? I says, yeah. You know when you start praying to God? I says, yeah. It really helped you a lot, Dad. And I said, thank you, babe. You know what, Dad? I goes, what, Bess? I'm not scared of you anymore. You're my friend. And because of the frustration and not having enough money and wanting to drink and totally irresponsible and all that, some of the discipline that I thought I was giving my daughter were beating. There were a point to where the kids were on my way of my drinking. And when I first heard somebody else say that at a meeting, I went, oh my gosh. And I found myself listening when I came back this time, listening when people got up and shared. I found myself nodding my head a lot of times. Why? Because I could relate to the terror and the fear. And I find myself nodding my head a lot because I could relate to the happiness and the peace that Alcoholics Anonymous gives you. And I've already seen that tonight. There's people going, they got that. I also puked in the toilet bowl too. Coming from the residential schools, coming from the reserves, coming from all these drunks that were on the reserve and abuse in the schools and everything, I tell you, I was not comfortable with HUDs and Alcoholics Anonymous. There were men hugging men. There were women hugging women. And women hugging other husbands. And I was in prison for a long time. You don't hug in prison. Or something's coming down. Well, all of that didn't come out right. Oh. You people behave here. And I remember this one little old Indian fella said to me after a meeting, "Whoa, this nice lady, she come up and she give me a hug." And I had a little Indian uprising. Just kidding. This God thing scares the heck out of a lot of people. Scared me when I came in. God this and God that and God and higher power and woo. Pretty soon they're going to give me a pamphlet. Hand out in the streets. God could and would if you were sought. There's one power, that one is God. May you find him now. It does not say hopefully down the road. Because may you find him now. And that God could and would if you were sought, so I had to learn to do some sorting. Yeah, I've been getting better for a long time. I need a lot of help. I travel all the ways from Merritt, B.C. to get some help with my sobriety today. And look, I got lots of help. I need a lot of help because there are days where I would just love to put my healing hands around certain people's necks. Heal you, some bitch. And then you let go when they just about stop kicking. And you ask for forgiveness. And you promptly admit you're wrong. And if it still ticks you off, you just say, "Do you want me to pray for you some more?" I remembered one time I called this family meeting. I said, "Family, get together. We're going to have a meeting. And I want everybody to be honest And he said, we should be honest with ourselves and be honest. Just come up with some stuff that you want to come up with. Dad's here to listen. My oldest daughter said, can I be first? I said, sure. Sure you could be first. She says, Dad, you know when you go to those art shows? You know when you go do stand-up comedy? You know when you go to the prisons and do those prison visits? You know when you go to those Alcoholics Anonymous rounds up and speak and help people and stuff like that? And I'm waiting for this praise, eh? And I'm going, yeah? Dad, sometimes we don't give a shit. I wanted to see right away and justify it and say, well, where do you think your piano lessons come from? Where do you think your hockey skates come from? But I bit my lip. I could taste the blood. And the first thing I blurted out was, who the hell called this meeting? He said, you did, Dad. Needless to say, they all took their turn. I never called too many meetings after that. After 3 hours of terrifying meeting, my son said, Dad, I said, yeah. He was 12 years old. Could I talk to you, Dad, by yourself? Okay. The family left the room. And he said, Dad. I go, yes. He started crying. I said, David. He says, Dad, I don't want you to use this against me and call me a wuss. Call me a sissy. I don't want you to tell a voice and a team. And he started crying. I said, David. He says, Dad, did you ever thought of hugging me? And just hold me? You know what I want to do, Dad? When the people line up to give you a hug after you speak at one of those AA things, you know what I want to do, Dad? I want to line up for one of your hugs. I was blind, man. I was blind. I was in recovery. I was going places. I was doing a whole bunch of stuff. But the most ugliest thing was happening in my life. I neglected my kids. So I say this from the inner depths of my heart to newcomers and anybody here tonight. Recovery starts at home. Grandchildren. Grandparents here? Yes! Give them a hand! I love my grandchildren. They're so much fun. You can let them do anything. Eat sugar out of the bowl. Break the glass. Burn the house down. We'll build another one. Rock their teeth. Then send them back. It's payback time. I had opportunity to look after my granddaughter for 4 days. And I had fun. And I found it easy because I just used the one diaper. Well, on the package, it says can hold up to 24 pounds. And after 4 days, I didn't want to change it anyway. I always tell people this when I'm at a roundup or at a meeting. I tell this to people, and I mean this with all my heart. I'm here because I'm not all there. I wouldn't laugh if you're listening to me. This is a place where a lot of people who are not all there gather to meet. Because every time I thought I was all there, I went back out. So I've always wanted to be missing a piece. And the only time I find that piece is when I go to the big meeting in the sky. Yeah. I was told by my sponsor, I said, hey, he said, you know, Wolfie, you got to practice these principles in all your affairs. I went, not those kind of affairs, though. Practice these principles of Alcoholics Anonymous in all your affairs. And I said, even at work? He says, yes, even at work. Damn. There's this one lady there. I used to fight with her every day. We used to fight, Barb. We're printers. I used to get my gloves on daily. Another fight with Barb today. And I wanted to kick her teeth in. But I can't because she was bigger than me. We're printers. We got to print the red first and then the black. And I said, no, we got to print the yellow first. I'm going to see. So I sat there that weekend after talking to my sponsor and I said, oh, God, I think this week I'm going to be nice to Bart. Just 1 week, that's all she's getting. So I went to work Monday morning, and it's good morning, Barb. And she went, N-n-n-n-n-n-n-n. That sounded like good morning. And that night I left back from work, and I said, have a nice evening, Barb. And she went, N-n-n-n-n-n. That sounded like, same to you. I made it through the first day. Second day, third day, fourth day, it was easy. Good morning, Barb. And I meant it with all my heart. And when I left, have a nice evening, Barb. I meant it with all my heart. Friday come, she quit. I love this program. My boss called me into the office and said, Barb quit. And I tried to look sad. I goes, oh. See, what did you do? I said I was nice. All she said, she quit and she wanted her holiday pay and everything. And when her last words was, she can't stand you. So if you got somebody around you that's really miserable and the pain in the butt, be groovy. They will find their way out of your life. I want to talk about a story called a garden. There's this little girl sitting on the steps, nicely combed hair, nice little dress, and the mother's in the garden, just a little ways, with a little garden hat, you know, those little straw hats, and garden gloves, and garden this and garden that. I know little labels for the carrots and this, and doing a good job with the weeds. Having a good time. And then the lady next door peeks over the fence and they start talking. She says, oh, this year, you know, I'm going to try radishes. Oh, gee, I tried mine last year. It didn't come out too good. And they did this garden talk back and forth. So far, the picture looks good. Then the mother went to the daughter. She sat beside her and said, how are you doing, Bess? I'm doing okay, Mom. But what, Bess? Sometimes, Mom, I wish I was your garden. So you could spend all that time with me. Sometimes I wish I was your garden so you can talk to that lady over the fence about me. Ooh. Ooh. There's a lot of gardens in our life. It could be a car, a 4x4. It could be a job. There are gardens in our life. This became a garden for me. I went to meetings. I was groovy. I went to stairs. And I neglected the kids. Man, those children were the flowers and the plants and the young ones given to us by the Creator to look after and nurture like a garden. I learned that here. And this is where I met a lot of gardeners. Wow. And we talk about our children babysitting and stuff. Hey? Wow. This is gorgeous. We come here to share our pain. We share our happiness. We share our fears. But we come here to share. I wonder if this program works for Indians. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it does. Because I look at us here as one big happy tribe, one big happy nation. Sober. Not burning wagons anymore. Sober and happy. I just look at it this way. Some of us got out of the oven early. And some of us got burnt. Then there's some of us that are just right. Hey. I remember when I was a little kid, and even as I grew up, I remembered wanting to be hugged. Not pushed away. Wanting to be hugged. Not pushed away. I remember when my dad used to say to one of my brothers, when he was drinking, that one there, he's a hunter. He can harness horses and shoe horses, and he's a trapper. And my brother would be sitting there like proud, and I'm waiting for my turn. Which one's that one? Oh, that's Opie. Hey, what do I got to do? Learn how to harness a horse and shoot something or whatever to get my dad's approval? We had to fight for that kind of affection. And here, you don't fight for any affection. It's given to you. And I came in. What did I run into? Good to see you.